Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out. Indecision. Overthinking. Second-guessing every choice you make. In. Plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out. Beige on beige on beige. Ugh. In. Knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Some people follow the rules, but where's the fun in that? I'm Soraya, and this is Rule Breakers, the podcast where we celebrate the rebels, the risk takers, and the ones who make their own way. Every week, I sit down with the boldest voices in sports, entertainment, and beyond to talk about breaking barriers, defying expectations, and rewriting the rules. No limits, no apologies, just real talk. Follow and listen to Rule Breakers with Soraya, an Odyssey podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Congratulations on getting through your 9 to 5. Thank you so much for listening. It is The Drive. You are listening to The Drive on 96.5 The Fan, 96.5thefan.com, and also the Odyssey app. Rob is off for the next 2 days. JT is in his place. I'm here. I don't leave you guys. I'm here every day. I'm committed. I don't know if Rob's committed. Oh, you know, we got a little bit of a downtime. I wanted to spend some time with my wife. No, I'm not new to this. I'm true to this. I'm here. I'm here every day. I'm with you guys through the NFL draft. Now, I will say, once May gets here, it's kind of when I start taking some vacation time. I'm allowed to take time too, but at least up until the NFL draft, I'm locked in. Now, after the draft is over, I don't know. It's gonna be touch
game.
And go.
It's a free game, right?
Yeah, it's going to be touch and go. You'd be like, oh, where's Carrington at? Oh, he was just gone for 3 days. Yeah, I wasn't here. I tell you guys this. I will give you guys all of my fall. I'll give you all of my winter. I'm not going anywhere. I'm here. It's football season. I'm locked in. I'll give you guys a majority of my spring and the summer. Hey, man, it's 91 degrees outside. I'm sitting in here talking to you guys about the Royals bullpen and a 5-3 loss. I don't know if I'm going to be here that day. I'm getting sick. I don't know. I got to start using some of that PTO. But I'm here. I'm locked in. We are 3 weeks away from round one of the NFL draft. We'll get to the draft coming up in just a little bit. But I want to do something a little bit different. A little bit different. I want to talk about this because sometimes I think we spend a lot of time in sports arguing over things that don't matter. I genuinely don't care who you think is the greatest basketball player of all time. I don't care. If you think it's Michael Jordan, great. If you think it's LeBron James, fine. I don't care. We don't spend enough time just simply picking up and smelling the flowers. Just think about this week in sports. If you're like me and just a sports fan, I just like the competition. I love the athleticism. I love the drama. I love all the things about sports. And I imagine many of you are this same way. Last night in baseball, this is what we got. The best baseball player in the world, who might be, is certainly on the short list of the best baseball player that we have ever seen. On his bobblehead night, hits a walk-off home run to win the game. I mean, how can you not love sports? You got this player that looks like he was crafted by aliens to come down and dominate baseball. He is, when healthy, one of the 10 best pitchers in baseball, and then sometimes moonlights as a top 5 hitter. That guy yesterday on his bobblehead day just goes up there. It's a 6-6 game. He just walks up there kind of cool. I know he was feeling good because he probably just hit on a plus 700 parlay, allegedly. You know he's feeling great when he walks up there. And like, you know what? I feel like hitting a home run. First pitch. Boom. Deep center field. I'm the greatest. How can you not love sports? Now, I know that sometimes you guys have like a love-hate relationship with basketball. I don't get it, but hey, everybody is different. You guys love college basketball, and then when they are done playing college, they move on to another level, and you're done. You don't want nothing to do with them then. I still keep watching them play because I just kind of enjoy watching people play basketball. Think about the last two nights in the NBA. Two nights ago, Steph Curry played basketball. Steph Curry played 37 minutes. He was 16 of 31 from the field. He made 12 three-pointers in the game on 20 attempts. And you can take as many threes as you want if you're going to shoot them at a 60% clip. We always say, oh, these guys take too many threes. Nah, it ain't that they taking too many threes. It's that they missing too many threes. That's the problem, is a lot of these dudes can't shoot and think that they can shoot, and they're shooting 31%. Well, that means you miss 70% of the time. That isn't that fun to watch you miss jumpers and chase them down. Steph Curry had 52 points, 10 rebounds, and 8 assists, and did so in a very exciting 134-125 game. Now, we would spend more time celebrating Steph Curry's career, certainly at his age, if LeBron wasn't around. I mean, LeBron at this point, I mean, this is, we've never seen a basketball player do what LeBron is doing. Steph Curry is 37 years old. Steph Curry has been in our life now for almost 20 years. From the first time you saw Steph Curry step on a basketball court until now, we have seen this 6'1", 165-pound kid that we had never heard of before, and all we knew was that his dad played in the NBA. We have watched that person grow up to be the greatest human being to ever shoot a basketball. He's Usain Bolt. Everybody has been in a race before. He's the fastest person ever in a race. Now, I don't know how to swim, but you get this. All of us have at least tried to swim. And we one day just saw Michael Phelps. Hey, I don't know what's going on there, but you are a fish. You got gills. You don't have regular lungs like I have, because I can't do that. That's what Steph Curry is. He's Michael Phelps. He's Usain Bolt. He's still playing. Those of you that are Chiefs fans, do you know that every Sunday in the fall and winter, every Sunday, you know how you spend your day watching Patrick Mahomes play quarterback? And what is so amazing about watching him play quarterback is every single week he does one thing that you think, hey, I don't know how many people have the ability to do that. I don't know how many human beings walking the face of the earth can make that throw. That throw that he made in the Super Bowl. I know they were getting kicked at that point. That throw that he made to Xavier Worthy on that long touchdown pass is just, how in the world did you do that? Now, I don't know where that was in the first and second quarter. It was still incredible to see. I just want us as sports fans sometimes to just sit back and just realize what we have. Sometimes you just sit there, and I'm sure this has happened to you married folk out there. You just sit there and you look at your wife and you think, man, you're beautiful. I'm lucky to be in your life. I'm lucky that you chose me. You know what? I feel that way. I'm lucky and fortunate that I get to be a sports fan. That every single day I could sit down and I can watch Steph Curry play basketball or watch Patrick Mahomes play football. And I got to see Tiger Woods golf. And I got to see Shohei Ohtani. And I got to see 1998 with Mark McGwire and Sammy Sosa. That I got to see Tiger Woods. We got to see all of those things as sports fans. It's amazing. We are the lucky ones that have decided that this is going to be our hobby, that this is how we are going to spend our time entertaining ourselves, by seeing human beings do things that you're not physically supposed to be able to do. You are not supposed to be able to be as good at shooting a basketball or run as fast as Usain Bolt, or you could win Cy Young as a pitcher and then turn around and hit 50 home runs. One human being is not supposed to have all that ability. We get to see it. So, I know we're going to go from talking about this, talking about Vinny Pasquantino and talking about MJ Melendez and Hunter Renfro. And I'm happy to have those conversations. I like having those conversations too, but sometimes we just need to sit back and we just need to appreciate the fact that we have chosen. And in some cases, it chose us. we have chosen a pretty amazing thing to be our hobby and what we do in our free time is that you can watch Nikola Jokic score 60 points in an NBA game, have 10 rebounds and 10 assists. You could have watched that two nights ago. He'll probably do it again because he's the best basketball player in the world.
My favorite thing about Jokic is he hit that half-court shot. And it might not have been the 61-point night game he had, but he hit the half-court shot, and he could care less the way he reacted. He's like, yeah, I do that. Yeah, cool. All right, let's get back to business. Like, he doesn't want the attention on him. He could care less about the attention. He just wants to go out there and play basketball. That's his favorite hobby to do, and that's what he does. Same thing with Patrick Mahomes. He has excitement out there way more than Jokic does, but, like, these guys just go out there to have fun and to play the sport, and they – sometimes really don't care about all the attention they get. They just want to go out there and play the sport that they love to play.
Text line 913-586-7965. CDOT, you need to learn how to swim. It could save your life or somebody else's. It wouldn't save my life because I don't go where the water is. I don't go where the water is. I can't drown in my everyday life. That's why I didn't learn. I understand why swimming is a very, very important skill. I get that. I get why some of you learned how to swim. You want to know why I didn't learn how to swim? I don't go where the water is. I don't go over there. I'm not just randomly going to the lake. I'm just not going over there. I'm all right. In the ocean, I got to once it gets past my waist, I got to turn around. I'm going back the other way. I don't know what y'all got going on. I'm not going over there. I'm not going in the 12-foot deep pool. No, I'm going to splash my little feet around a little bit. I might get in the 6-foot pool. I might mess around and get in there. Outside of that, no, I'm not going over there.
You feel a little frisky getting to the 6-foot
pool?
Yeah,
I might. That's what I'm telling you. But I'm telling you, it's quick. I'm jumping in there, and I'm quickly swimming to the side. I learned as a kid, I'm telling you, I learned how to swim just enough to not die. Like, if you pushed me into the pool, I could swim enough to get to the side. Yeah. But if you drop me in the middle of the ocean, I'm fish food. I can't swim well enough to do that. Who do you think I am? Aquaman? No, I don't have that ability. I never wanted to have that ability. I also have never found myself in the middle of the ocean. Why would I be out there? There ain't no ocean by where we live. Where am I going?
We literally live in the middle of the state. Like, yeah. The state of the United States, the middle of it. It's insane.
You could think I'm drowning at Longview Lake. I ain't going out there. I'm not going out to Longview Lake. No. That's why I never learned how to swim.
You drowned at the Overland Park Rec Center. Yeah. Darn, man.
Yeah. I got swept up by the tide in Truce Lake. No, I did not get
the
swept
lazy
up.
River got you, buddy.
I don't go over there. I go to Oceans of Fun, and I see the wave pool. I'm like, oh, it looks fun. You guys are having
a great
time. You're
the spectator with the camera. Like, oh, look at that guy.
Yeah, it looks like you guys are having a great time over there. I'm having a great time, too. I'm splashing around, and I'm having a great time. You know what? That's what I'm trying to do. I'm trying to stay alive is what I'm trying to do. All right. Hey, do you have hit the hit sounder? Do you have the Baker's University read? I want to make sure that we get that. I mean, I will not be in trouble if we don't do the read. You will, in fact, be in trouble.
I actually would be in trouble, even if...
Yeah, no, you should hit the button and do the Baker read.
Yeah, so Carrington, guess what? Since Rob's gone, he put me in charge of this. This is going to go great.
Yeah, no, he put you in charge of it. That's your job. I have a job. You have a job. This part is your job for sure. Yeah, I've never read this before.
Listen, it's now time for the hits presented by Baker University, where graduates earn higher salaries and land jobs faster than any other Kansas university. Apply today at bakeru.edu.
All right, you know what? We'll get back to the Royals coming up in just a bit. Can we talk a little bit of basketball? And we don't got to talk NBA basketball. Let's talk about the Final Four that is coming up in 2 days. Fade the music down a little bit, please, JT. So I was reading a list, and they were doing the top 25 freshmen since the turn of the century. And I found this to be pretty interesting. All right, so this is what they had. So these are the top freshmen since 2000. Number one was Anthony Davis. Number two was Kevin Durant. Number three was Carmelo Anthony. Number four was Zion Williamson. Number five was Greg Oden. Honorable mention outside the top five was Trae Young. Now, I loved Trae Young at Oklahoma. I don't know how you could argue that Trae Young was better in college than Michael Beasley was in college. But I'm not here to completely argue the list. I also think that Greg Oden is pretty high on that list. Greg Oden, who would always get two early fouls, and they needed Mike Conley and Daquan Cook to come in and save them. But Greg Oden was a very good college player who helped guide his team to the national championship. So Michael Beasley was 7 on this list. Derrick Rose was 8 on this list. Jahlil Okafor, Jared Sullinger. That is a name I have not heard in a very long time. Jared Sullinger, the center from Ohio State. If Cooper Flagg is able to finish this out and Duke wins the national championship, he is the best freshman that we have ever seen. And I don't say that to be prisoner of the moment. I was around when Carmelo took Syracuse to the national championship. And let me tell you, Carmelo was amazing. He averaged 20 and 10 in the old school Big East and shot 48% from three. Was incredible and didn't have some of the talent that some of the other freshmen have. That team had, what, Hakeem Warrick and Jerry McNamara, and he took that team to a national championship. If Cooper Flagg and the Duke Blue Devils win this championship, it is the most impressive freshman season that we have ever seen. What he is doing at 18 years old is incredible. He is averaging 19, 8, and 4, and shooting 48% from the field on a team that has not been challenged so far, and doing it at a time in which, when some of these guys were doing it, the sport was a little bit younger. That's not what college basketball is now. College basketball is about you're on your fourth school in 4 years. This is your seventh school, and you're 25 years old. Cooper Flagg is 18. He doesn't turn 19 until December. That means early in the league, he's going to be a true, legitimate 18 years old. What we are watching with Cooper Flagg is the definition of a phenom. He is the next great American basketball phenom. These pop up from time to time. For those of you that remember, you remember watching Kevin Durant at Texas. It was obvious that it was going to work at the next level. I was thinking about this a couple of days ago, how stupid it was. You guys remember when Kevin Durant couldn't do the bench press? It was like the biggest deal. I think the bar is like 165, 185. Those of you who lift weights, you tell me. I don't know how tall the bar is. I ain't never lifted that bar before. But it was, man, he's going to be too weak. And I'm like, I don't know if y'all watching basketball like that. Like, that kid can just score. He's 18. I think some of the physical stuff he'll be able to figure out. But if you watch his game, Kevin Durant is going to work. I think it was very obvious with Anthony Davis watching him at Kentucky. Oh, he's just better than everybody else. Carmelo, there's those freshmen that just, they excel at such a young age and an early age that it is obvious that they are different. I think that's what we are watching with Cooper Flagg. He's different. He's special. He is a prodigy. He is a phenom. For you to step in college basketball at 18 years old, and in my opinion, clearly be the best player. It is not a conversation on who the best player left in this NCAA tournament is. It's him. 19, 8 rebounds, 4 assists on almost 50% shooting at 18 years old is crazy. So I'm not saying in college that Beasley was amazing. Michael Beasley is the best college basketball player I've ever seen with my own eyes. I never seen anything like Michael Beasley before. Now, he didn't have the career that Cooper Flagg is having, the team success. I've never seen anything like Michael Beasley at any age before. He averaged 26-12 and shot 40% from three as a freshman in the Big 12. And this is when the Big 12 was loaded in the mid-2000s. He's the best I've ever seen. Cooper's special, man. He's really, really special. His basketball IQ, his feel for the game, how he gets his teammates involved, how he runs the floor defensively. There's not many things on the basketball court that he can't do. There's just not many things that he can't do. So I would put Cooper Flagg number one. If we started this list all over, the last 25 years, give me the top 25 freshmen, I think that Cooper Flagg has to be number one on the list. I also want to talk about this really quickly, and we'll get back to baseball here in a bit. I've heard a lot of conversation about this year's NCAA tournament being boring. Some people feel like this year has been boring. I don't think that it's been boring. I think that it has been predictable. I don't think that those two words mean the same thing. I would say that superhero movies are predictable. I don't think that makes them boring. One of the reasons why I quit watching superhero movies, other than you got to watch all of them to know how they all line up, I ain't got that much time. I don't want to watch 19 television shows to understand this two-hour movie. If you can't explain it to me in the movie, but that's neither here nor there. All superhero movies, for the most part, follow the same formula. Here's the hero. We meet him. We meet the antagonist. We meet the love interest. He goes through a little bit of a problem, and then he eventually figures out that problem and wins the day. He's a superhero. You go to the movie theater to see the superhero win. That's what's happened in this year's college basketball. The superhero has kept winning. And you know who the superhero is? Batman. They keep making him. That's Duke. You know who the superhero is? Spider-Man. That's Houston. That's Florida. That's Auburn. They've been the superheroes of this college basketball season. Duke is number one on offense. They're number five on defense. Florida is number two on offense, number 10 on defense. Auburn, top 10 in both of those things. Houston. These are quite literally the four best teams in college basketball. Not the four hot teams, not the four teams that figured it out. These are the four best teams in college basketball, and they have emerged. So sure, this year didn't have that human interest story that you love about the NCAA tournament. There was no Sister Jean. There was no St. Peter's. There was no Loyola Chicago or Florida Gulf Coast. There were not a lot of surprise in turns and twists. This was a standard, straightforward movie. But man, we all went to go see Titanic. I had a really good feeling of how it was going to end. And I was really, really entertained from the beginning to the end of the movie. I think we kind of knew that about this college basketball season. I think we've kind of known since December how this season was going to go. It was obvious in the non-con who the best teams were. We realized that this conference was really special and really deep in the SEC. Duke, we've known about Cooper Flagg. If you've been keeping up with recruiting, you've known about Cooper Flagg since he was 14 years old. They've been talking about this kid from Maine. We know that Houston was going to be really good, and they proved to be the best team in the Big 12. It's just been what we expected this entire time, and that's not what we've come to grow accustomed to in the NCAA tournament. That does not make it a bad thing. That doesn't make it boring. If you are in the business of watching the highest level of basketball with the best coaches, the best teams, the best players, that's what you have in this NCAA tournament. So no, your bracket didn't get beat up the way that it normally does. And we're not sitting here looking at NC State and FAU in the Final Four that no one's really that excited about, but we got to pretend to be excited about it because it's the Final Four. No. It is the best offensive team playing the best defensive team in Duke and Houston, and then it is clearly the two best teams from the best conference playing each other at a neutral site. Auburn has been, or I think they were, I think Auburn was the best team in college basketball from the start of it until March 1st. Since then, I think you can argue it's either been Duke or Florida. Houston has been right there in the mix, right there in the conversation basically this entire season. All four of those teams have navigated this tournament and now find themselves one game away from competing for a national championship. There is no combination that we can get that's bad.
No, there's not. And I would say this. I think there is a story within these four teams because no coach on the four teams has won a national championship as a head coach. You've got, think about this, Bruce Pearl hasn't won a national championship is really mind-boggling thinking about how he was with Tennessee for a long time and all that. Obviously, John Shireman for Duke, he hasn't won one even though he was on the staff with Coach K. You also have Kelvin Sampson who's had really good teams and just hasn't got over the hump. And then obviously you've got Golden down in Florida, who's the young one. I think that's the more intriguing one about Florida is, can he win the national championship being so young as a head coach and pretty much taking Walter Klang Jr., I mean, to a whole nother level. Like, that man has gone phenom. And so it's really intriguing because there is stories there. It's just not those Cinderella cool stories that we want to be accustomed to, but there's still stories with all four of these teams.
No, for sure. There absolutely are those kind of stories. Someone on the text line says there have only been 10 close games by four or less throughout the entire tournament. That's made it very unexciting. Yes, no Cinderella, but truly not many good games in general. I would say that of 10 games that are decided by four or less, I mean, there's 67 games altogether in the tournament. I mean, tell me one in every five, one in every six ends up being a game that gets decided by less than four. I kind of think that's the NCAA tournament. I think there have been pretty good, compelling, entertaining games. I think what has happened this year is the top four teams have been clearly better than everybody else. Now, I would say Houston and Florida have played in two really compelling games. Houston had a last-second buzzer beater against Purdue that advanced them to this round, and Florida's played in two great games in the NCAA tournament. They played in a great comfort-behind victory against Texas Tech to get them to the Final Four, and that second-round game that they had against UConn was one of the better games in this year's NCAA tournament. I don't think that the tournament has been boring by any means. I think it has been predictable, and that's usually not what March is. We want the madness. We want the chaos. We want the unpredictability. This tournament has not been unpredictable, but that doesn't mean that there hasn't been good basketball. Coming up on the other side, we are 1 week into the Royal season. Let's talk about it. Keep it right here, Sir Drive.
All right. We're only talking about baseball in this segment. This is a baseball topic, but it's kind of not a baseball topic. JT, let's say that you and I go to the Royals game. We've been to a Royals game before, maybe not together, just like me and you, but, you know, a work event. We've gone to a Royals game together. And I look up to you and I say, hey, you know what? I'll get you a hot dog. Me like, yo, thanks, Carrington. You've always been my hero, my inspiration. I look up to you. When I get older, I want to be like you. I'm like, you know what? Let's calm down a little bit, but I understand. Let's go get a hot dog. I'm like, all right, yes. It's been my dream. And then I get a hot dog. And then I get you a hot dog, and I hand you the hot dog. And then you say, where are the condiments? And the lovely person behind the register says, over there. And we look to our right, we walk over there. Now comes the moment of truth. This determines whether or not you'll be back tomorrow. And trust me, I got the power to make sure that you're not coming back tomorrow. What are you putting on the hot dog?
You're not going to like this because I know where you stand. But I'm just a ketchup only kind of guy, if anything. Sometimes I eat it even plain. But I'm not a hot dog kind of guy. But if I eat a hot dog, it's usually either plain or with ketchup. I can't stand mustard, and I can't stand pickles.
You're telling me at the Royals game you've had a hot dog with no condiment on it before?
Well, no, not at the Royals game.
Okay, I'm just saying. You said yeah, either eating it. Okay,
no,
I didn't know.
No, not at the Royals game. I have to have ketchup on one.
Okay, I'm making sure. Because yeah. I'm saying going out there to eat the Aramark hot dogs with no condiments is crazy work. Yeah.
I honestly, sometimes I actually pay, and I haven't done it in a while, but I'll pay for a little cup of cheese. I like a little cup of cheese with my hot dog, a nacho cheese.
Okay. All right. I just was wondering.
Yeah, but I can't. I think I know where you stand. I think you're a big mustard guy. I
love a mustard.
Yeah, I can't do mustard or pickle relish.
You know what? If I had to, and I like, you know how they always say, well, if I could talk to my like 10-year-old self, 10-year-old Carrington would not believe. 10-year-old Carrington would not believe that I love onions and I love peppers. Because when you're a kid, you don't want to eat no nasty onions, green peppers, bell peppers. I even get crazy sometimes. And, you know, when you go to Quick Trip, we've all been in this situation at Quick Trip. You're hungry, but you maybe got like a dinner coming up later or something else. So you want to get something quick, but you don't want to get something that you're going to be full. You're just trying to go in. You're trying to just get something to hold you over for the next 2-3 hours until you eat something more. So I'll go into Quick Trip and I'll get a dog. I ain't ashamed to say it. And they got them little banana peppers. Oh, I'd be going crazy with the banana peppers.
Aren't they called like peppercinis, really?
I don't know. It's too much.
Okay, yeah, but banana peppers are good.
You're throwing too many big words at me, and I don't know what they mean, okay? So tread lightly. I don't know what you're saying. I'm going to be real with you, JT. If you told me that at Royals games you don't put anything on the hot dog, I would have asked Spectre to tell you not to come back. I would have told Spectre, hey, man. Hey, JT's a nice guy, just didn't work. What went wrong? Everything is what I would say. Everything went wrong.
This
please do not have him come back.
On his, that is wild. No. Yeah. Well, I mean, I had a friend and I haven't gone back to a Royals game with him since, but we went on a dog.
Y'all had some kind of beef then.
He dipped his hot dog into Dr. Pepper. And I was like, yeah, I can't. He dipped it into Dr. Pepper. He goes, yeah, I like my hot dog's a little soggy. And I'm like, yeah, I'm not coming back with you. I don't even care if it's a Royals dog night.
Hold on. We got to go back here. I didn't want to talk about the Royals. I'm sorry. Hold on. You and your friend went to a Royals game. I just want to fully understand.
Yes,
you
and your friend went to a Royals game. Like the dollar night, yeah.
So you bought a hot dog.
Yeah.
Your friend also bought...
He bought two hot dogs, yeah.
Okay, he bought Dr. Pepper.
Yep, and a Dr. Pepper.
And he took the Aramark hot dog.
Took the lid off the Dr. Pepper and dipped it in
the- and then ate the dog.
Yeah, yeah. Could not go back with him to a Royals
game. Are you still friends with him?
Yeah. Yeah, we talk.
Okay. Hey, do me a favor. Grab your phone. Delete his number. Okay. Do that right now. Grab your phone right now.
Yeah.
And just be like, hey, man.
Yeah, we can't be friends no more.
Yeah, I'm just saying, hey, I'm just telling you right now, you need to move on from your life. You know how your parents told you about keeping bad influences out of your life? That person is a bad influence. That's what it is. That person you are around is a bad influence, and I want you to do a better job of staying away from those kind of individuals. All right, let's move on from that. I just had to ask JT that question. I was curious. I have my question answered. I am happy to have that question answered. I understand the why, so I want to be clear. I don't want you guys getting upset. Well, he's been hurt. I get it. I understand. I watch the games too. Over the last 30 games for the Royals, they have scored 88 runs. I gave you guys that stat yesterday. Well, in those games, they have only had Vinny Pasquantino for 11 of those games. And in those games that we're talking about, he just hasn't been a healthy and or productive player. Now, the injury completely set him back. No question about it. The injury set him back. Vinny was one of the best young hitters in baseball. Injury happens, derails the end of his season. He misses the last handful of regular season games and then gets thrown right in the middle of the postseason, right in the heart of the lineup, and is asked to help produce and help this team make a little bit of a run. In fact, in a game in which they won 2-1, he had an RBI. They needed Vinny Pasquantino to advance in the postseason. They didn't score a lot of runs then in the postseason. One of the reasons why the Royals' offense is struggling is they have yet to get healthy Vinny Pasquantino back. This team has three legitimate run-producing players. They have Bobby Witt Jr., they have Salvador Perez, and they have Vinny. And this is not a knock towards Jonathan India. I just don't know if you're counting on him to be your RBI guy. You're counting him to get on base and score runs for you. You are not counting on him to bring the runs home, so to speak. If that's all you got, you can't live with Vinny Pasquantino, who last year in the postseason hit 130 and just clearly shouldn't have been out there. If those are regular season games, Vinny's not even on the field because he's continuing to rest and get back to 100% and get healthy. So not blaming him at all. If you look at the start of this season for the Royals and why they've gotten off potentially to a little bit of a slow start offensively, it's again because Vinny has not gotten off to a good start and we're trying to see if Vinny is healthy so far this year. But the Royals are not a team. They cannot overcome Vinny in the postseason hitting 130. Vinny so far this season hitting 167, having three hits and 21 plate appearances. That's not how their team works. Just not how their team works. And you think about the last 2 days in which the Royals struggled. A, Vinny didn't play in one of those games. They didn't score in that game. Vinny then came back for the game against Milwaukee yesterday, the game they lost in 11 innings. He had four plate appearances, didn't get a hit, didn't drive in a run, struck out two times. I'm not saying all the offense is Vinny's fault. I understand why Vinny is having the struggles or had the struggles that he's had. But in their last 30 games, for almost 65% of those games, they didn't have him, and they desperately needed him in those games. And then when he has played, he hasn't been the same. If the Royals are going to turn their offense around, Vinny has to be part of the solution. He has to be. They don't have any other choice. They don't have enough bats. They don't have enough bodies. They can't overcome you not getting any contribution from your outfield offensively and overcome Vinny. So it seems simple to me. Once they get Vinny going, and maybe that takes him 50 plate appearances, 100 plate appearances, at some point he gets going. He's too talented of a hitter. You get far enough removed from the injury, they will get the old Vinny back. That's when they can get hot. That's when they can go on a run. This team is at its best when they're pitching well, when they're on the base pass, and this team is at its best when you got Bobby Witt Jr. playing like the best player in the world and you got Vinny right there backing him up to help drive in runs. That's when the Royals got hot last season. That's how the Royals made the postseason. If they're going to catch fire at some point here in the first 30 days or so, they're going to need Vinny Pasquantino to be a major part of why they're doing it. We can keep this conversation going on the other side. We'll continue to talk a little bit of baseball. We are 7 days into the baseball season. Keep it right here. So drive.
I don't know if I've said any of this on the air, but I mean, now is, a good time to talk about it.
I will be taking some time off in May because I'm going to the Kentucky Derby. I have always been a big fan of the Derby ever since I was a kid, and it was one of those things that was on my bucket list. So what I did was they had like a little lottery system for the tickets. JT, they had a little lottery system. I filled it out. And this guy from Churchill Downs called me and said I had won. I could they were going to sell me some of the good seats at Face. And I was like, yes, absolutely, I will be there. Now, this is the thing. Getting the tickets weren't really that stressful. I mean, it wasn't cheap, but it wasn't stressful. Now, JT, really starts the hard part. Is, you know, the hard part is trying to figure out what you're going to wear.
I was about to say, is it the outfit?
To the Derby. That's what I've been doing in my free time. I feel like I'm playing Barbie dress up when I get home. I'm sitting there and I'm on the computer and I'm on the iPad and I'm trying to figure out the fit. I'm trying to figure it out. Am I going to wear a hat? Am I not going to wear a hat? I ain't never worn a hat like this before. It's very uncomfortable. Then you're talking to this place and it's confusing. I don't even know where to look to get these kind of clothes. Because if you're going to go to this thing, JT, you got to be suited and booted. You can't just go regular willy-nilly. No, you're going to the Derby. You got to have the proper downtown brim. And you got to have the cufflinks. I want the cufflinks. That's what I've been stressed about. I've been stressing going home, playing imaginary dress-up, trying to get ready for the Derby in less than a month. So there will be 2 days that I'm not here that you'll look up and be like, oh, where's Carrington? Oh, he's at the Kentucky Derby. I also don't know if I've told you guys this. Well, I won't actually miss any time for this, but I'm going to WrestleMania in a couple of weeks. Now, I'm going because so my cousin is he's a big Raiders fan and a big wrestling fan. Like, his two favorite things are the Raiders and wrestling, and he really wants to go. And he was thinking about going by himself. Because he wants to go. And I was like, you know what, man? I'll go with you. I don't know anything about wrestling. I don't know what's going on. Actually, no. I know one thing about what's going on. I know that John Cena doesn't like Cody Rhodes for some reason. I don't know what they don't like each other for. I don't know anything else about it. I don't know who else is wrestling. I don't know who else is doing any of those things. All I know is that John Cena and Cody Rhodes don't like each other. I don't know anything else. But I will be there. I'm going to night two.
So wait, there's two nights?
There is. There's two nights.
Okay.
Night one, we're watching it like with a group of people somewhere. And then night two, I will be attending night two of WrestleMania. Now, I'm not missing any of the show for that. I'm flying back right after the event. But no, I'll be here.
Wait, so where's the event at?
Las Vegas.
Oh.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. He's a Raiders fan and a wrestling fan. Okay. And it's in Allegiant.
Well, I felt like Raiders and wrestling fans always go together. So
no, they definitely go together.
Okay.
No, they definitely go together.
Yeah, I don't know nothing about WrestleMania. I'm not a big fan of that. My dad tried to get me into it. I'm like, yeah, I'll stay away from that. Let me watch football, baseball, basketball. I'll be cool with it.
Somebody said, Carrington, you take more vacations than the presidents. I haven't taken any vacation in a while, actually.
I was about to say, I don't think you've been gone since when? Probably maybe before the football season?
I didn't miss a day during football season.
Exactly.
Oh, didn't miss a day during football season.
Your grind never stops when the football season comes.
Yeah, no, I'll be here. I ain't going to lie to you. Over the summer, it's going to be some times. Oh, where's Carrington at? Oh, he went to the Kendrick concert. That's where Carrington was. Hey, where's Carrington at? No, that's where Carrington was. I'm telling you where I was. That's where I was at. I was at the Kendrick show. Bing, bop, boom, bop, bam. That's where Carrington was. I was a bing, bop, boom over to St. Louis. That's where I was.
Ever since the Super Bowl, my mom will say that randomly. I'm like, Mom, stop. You don't even know what you're doing.
Bing, bop, boom.
I'm like, stop. You don't know what you're doing. Yeah. She's like, it's catchy. I'm like, I don't care. Stop.
Somebody said CDOT, so you took those suing classes for nothing. I ain't good enough to make a suit. I don't know how to do all that. I can make you some other stuff. I can make you a pillow if you need me to. I can make you a pillow. I don't know. I don't know anything else. No, I can't. I don't know how to do all that. Someone said, if you want to get caught up on the WWE stories, I'm not going to lie to you. I don't actually want to get caught up on any of the stories. I made a deal with my cousin for me to go. I said, I will go and I will be a good sport. I was like, I'll be a good sport. You have to do two things. I said, we have to go to the adult club. And I said, you have to come out one night. I was like, as long as you agree to do those things, hey, I will be the good soldier. But I, you know what I don't want? I've been spending a day of wrestling. We're going to like even like small events. We're going to like NXT and stuff. Like, this is a real wrestling weekend. It is a real wrestling weekend. I'm going to like NXT. We're going to like a live podcast. He's excited about it. I get it.
That's his hobby. That's his hobby. Yeah.
I was like, cool, I'll go. I'll go. I don't have any issues with going. I told him, simple. At night, whenever we're done with the wrestling stuff, I'm telling you what we're doing. I'm telling you, we're going to Spearman Rhino. That's all I told him. I was like, I'm not here. I'm not going to argue with you about it. I don't want to hear the, nah, I'm tired. Yeah, I was tired. I was tired at 11:30 when you had me up watching two people wrestle that I don't know anything about. I was tired, but I was a good sport is what I was. I was a good sport. And now it's time for you. You better get up. I better go get you a Red Bull downstairs. We're going to Hakkasan. I don't know what plans you got tonight, but that's what we're doing. That was the only thing I agreed to. Everything else, I was like, hey, cool, I'll go. I don't care. I'm here to be a good. Somebody said, C-Dot, you won't buy a Chiefs ticket, but you'll buy a WrestleMania ticket. I don't need to buy the Chiefs ticket. I just email somebody. It works out a little different.
You got your insiders, right?
Yeah, come on. I don't need to. I'm going to be real with you. For the Chiefs, if they're not giving them to me, I'm all right. I'm all right. You know, I'll watch that one at home. I'm okay. And sometimes they magically fall from the sky. It's great. It's great. It's one of the benefits of the job. All right. Tomorrow, Rob will still not be back. I will be back. I'll be back. He's hanging out with some guy that's eating Dr. Pepper flavored hot dogs. It's a lot going on. It's the drive.